The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garrow and Perrow columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Now we're off to West Africa today, specifically Guinea, where ASX listed Arrow Minerals, which trades under the code AMD, has just secured a deal that gives it a footprint at the northern extension of the iron ore riches found in the Simandou Ranges, well known to this market because of Rio's presence there. And Rio's presence there is the 2 billion ton, 65% Fe components of the Simandou Range that they own, and Arrow's secured a northern extension of this apparently. So with that, I'm going to introduce the MD, Hugh Bresser, today to give us a rundown on the details behind the deal and where to for the company from here. And just a reminder, the stock last traded at 0.4 cents for a market cap of just around $8 million. So when we're talking the Simandou Mountain Range and a market cap of $8 million, there's plenty of excitement around this deal. So, Hugh, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for your time today.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, Barry, and thank you for the introduction. Yes, it's a fairly exciting time for Arrow. We have been going through a company restructure, I guess, since about 2019 when we started to focus on some of our West African gold assets. And I joined the company in July last year, so I've been with Arrow for about a year, and I've been in the MD seat since February this year. So my mandate and focus has been really to take Arrow strongly focused onto to West Africa. And in the time that I've been with the company, it's been about exploring and looking for opportunities in West Africa that can really make a significant difference to the company. And I was very pleased to be able to announce the agreement over the Simandou North Iron Project. It's a quantum shift for the company. I think it's going to be a wonderful return for shareholders. For those of you listening that don't know much about the Simandou Range, it's probably the world's, well, it is the world's largest undeveloped high-grade iron ore range, initially discovered in 1997 by Rio. And at that stage, they had four exploration blocks over the area. They were hived off basically by the Ghanaian government in 2008. And they were broken into the four blocks. Rio retained two, and two were put out to BSGR. Now, they went through a fair bit of a court case there, and eventually they were returned back to the Ghanaian government. And in November 2019, they were put out for tender, and a winning consortium, a Chinese group, won the rights to blocks one and two. So at the moment, there's probably about 4 billion tonnes of high-grade iron spread between the four blocks that Rio and Winning have. And we sit directly north of the Winning Consortium. So what we have is the northern extension of the Simandou block. It's virtually unexplored other than some work done by Vale in the early 2000s, where they identified the continuation of the Simandou range into that area through geophysics and did some very early reconnaissance drilling. So we're sitting in a position now where we have a major extension to the Simandou range, and we're about to kick that off into a due diligence and then subsequent exploration phase with our aims to define a number of high-grade iron deposits in the area.
Mm. So who are you acquiring the interest from?
So the interest is held by a private Singaporean company, Amalgamated Minerals. Amalgamated are a group that look to secure assets that have potential. I came across them through actually at Indaba was my first meeting with them. So it was about looking for opportunities in West Africa, and we were talking about the use of gold and iron in the region. So it seemed like a very good fit for us. They were happy with my experience, and we were certainly happy with the quality of the ground that Amalgamated had, and we're very pleased to be able to move forward with the acquisition.
Your more recent history there with logistics, moving manganese around the place, and this Simandou project, as you mentioned, discovered a long time ago by Rio, and it's had a bit of a checkered history, but there was an agreement reached between the government, Rio, and the winning consortium back in March to actually get the project going. Now, it is it if this deposit was on the coast or was in the Pilbara, it would have been developed by now. It's 600 plus kilometres from the coast to get to a port, and that's been what's holding it back. So what's your understanding of the progress that Rio and the winning consortium are making on that infrastructure front?
So the best we know at the moment, Barry, is that the infrastructural development is being strongly supported and pushed by the Ghanaian government.
They see it as nation building, don't they? Yeah.
They do. They see this as a potential to release value that has been tied up in their country for a very long time. In 1997, it was discovered. It's one of those assets that, as you say, if it was anywhere else in the world, if it was near the coast or if it was in the Pilbara, we would have developed this by now. It's very similar to the high-grade deposits out of Brazil. So The Ghanaian government really want to see this developed. They've put a three-way agreement with Winning and Rio in place. And under the terms of the agreement, they need to build a rail line and port infrastructure. We're aware that the rail line construction has started. And I think if you've been watching the press recently in that space, you've seen there's been a lot of saber rattling by the Ghanaian government around stopping work on the developments and threatening Rio particularly with taking off the assets off them. But at the end of the day, it's in everyone's best interest for this development to go forward. Mm. It's a primary project for the Ghanaian government and the Ghanaian people. It's a massive undertaking for Rio. It's going to release an enormous amount of value for them and for Winning Consortium. And we, sitting to the north, sit right on the proposed rail line, and it's a shared use infrastructural agreement that they're using. So the rail line will be available for use by anybody, as well as the port facilities. So,
not like the situation we have in the Pilbara, famously.
No, not like the situation in the Pilbara. It's been deliberately structured that way.
So what we'd call open access here, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. They want, the Ghanaian government want to use this infrastructure to build their country, and it's a big undertaking for them. So we're very pleased. And the timing they're talking about, I think the proposal at the moment is to have first ore being produced along that infrastructural belt by 2025 or 2026. And given the state of our project, that works wonderfully with our timing. That gives us time to evaluate the project, to find resources and be in a position to potentially feed into that infrastructural chain.
Now, you've kind of touched there on a lot of posturing in the last year or so about the infrastructure side of the Simandou range get going. One thing we can say, though, is Winning Consortium famously have taken bauxite production in Guinea from next to nothing to the biggest exporter in the world. So there is the Winning Consortium, Chinese side of things, they can get things done. So whether Rio gets dragged along in the process or not, long term, one wonders whether it will really matter, because Winning Consortium seem to be a can-do sort of organisation or consortium.
That's right, Barry. I see this as a very active space, and it's certainly going to be an interesting couple of years with the developments there.
So it's a non-binding agreement at this stage. Obviously it allows you to get in there and do some DD and check a few things out. So what will you be doing in this in the next 12 months or so just to firm up this this deal?
Look, the primary focus for us over the next 3 months, obviously given the history of the Simandou range, is focusing on the due diligence aspects, ensuring title, meeting the Ghanaian government, meeting with local communities, because we need to have that social license to operate. We also need to understand the framework in which we operate. But beside the legal context of it, what we want to be doing is getting onto the ground as soon as we can, start getting some very relevant samples collected. There are a number of ridges and larger hills that are outcrop in our area, and that's generally the sign of the higher grade material. Mm-hmm. So we'll be getting on the ground, collecting samples, mapping the area. Then all things ticking our boxes, we'll be executing our due diligence acquisition and moving to a 33% ownership, at which point we'll start the exploration in full vigour, which will involve geophysics, both gravity and magnetics, and drilling some of the ready known targets that were left untested by Vale. So we expect to be moving forward fairly quickly in defining higher grade zones of iron material in that range.
And the work you've just described there, do you have funding in place or arranging finance to get that done?
It's a good question, Barry, and I think it's you know, you commented earlier about our market cap, and I think that's been a big challenge for Arrow and myself. We've been a small company for a long time, and it's time to change that. And mm-hmm. to do that, we do need to raise funds. And part of this deal structure that we've struck over the Simandou North Iron Project includes a placement or a rights holding for about $2.5 million. It's potentially underwritten. We need to obviously go through the DD phase to confirm all of that. But we'd be looking to do a raise sometime in October or November to get enough money to move forward very quickly into the future. Hand in glove with that, we have just divested our Strickland Copper Gold Project in Western Australia, and that's going to bring about $600,000 into the company. We've just completed a placement at 0.006, which was a premium to market, and that brought in another $350,000. So that funds us all the way through to the conclusion of due diligence. It also gives us some money to advance our gold projects in Burkina Faso. I mean, Simandou North is an exciting project. It's a big opportunity for the company, but our gold projects in Burkina Faso are not small either. We've got some mm-hmm. significantly advanced drilling done on a deposit called Dasa, and we have a number of high-quality targets that require drilling come the November drill season. Cordy is one that springs to mind. It's a very high-grade soil anomaly that we're just defining at the moment, sits on the structures. So we're focusing in West Africa. We're diversifying through commodity base, but we're presenting ourselves with a company that has certainly more than one string to the bow, mm-hmm. and we'll continue to grow the company by advancing both assets.
Yeah, it might be a good point at this stage, Hugh, just to get your thoughts on West Africa. It's not homogenous, obviously. It's many countries. Scares off some people on the ASX, but I guess you see it as a region where there's a lot of opportunities that you just wouldn't be able to pick up in Australia because of the tight land position.
Look, that's very true, Barry. West Africa is, and as you say, it's not a homogenous group. There are challenges operating in West Africa, and I think you need to be nimble and responsive to what's happening. If I was in Burkina 8 months ago, which actually I was, there wasn't a significant issue. Obviously, in January, they had a coup, which is not unusual for West African countries. It's more of a change of direction. Certainly, the coup in Burkina was strongly supported by the populace. It was more around security and policing and being able to enforce the rule of law. Other places, you know, Guinea has had a checkered history politically and with corruption. And I think if you look at Mali or Cote d'Ivoire, it's a similar situation. But we're still managing to operate mines quite effectively there. We're managing to do exploration very effectively there. And I think all of these countries recognise that mining development brings infrastructure, as we're seeing with the development in Guinea, and it also brings the opportunity of better education and better employment for their populace. And I think that's a great outcome. We do get discounted on the ASX, I feel, for being a West African focus. There is an inherent risk tied to those countries, but I don't think that any of them have been at a point where anyone has lost sovereign title to significant deposits or operations.
No, and I think it's worth noting that the two best performing ASX gold stocks in the last 12 months or so, West African focused, West African Gold and Perseus. And just Canadian market still very interested in West Africa. And this market, when we're talking about potential scale projects that, say, your Simandou North might eventually be worked up into, we'll look beyond, you know, the coup here, the coup there. And as you mentioned, Burkina Faso, even the BBC said that it was a welcome coup because of the populace were just sick and tired of violence and saw the coup as a way to get things back in under control.
That's right, Barry. It's a great opportunity. And you need to be able to manage these situations. We have people on the ground and we have ongoing dialogue with multiple government heads to ensure that we're aware of where things are going and what their feelings are.
I was just going to ask, how will you be managing the Simandou North project? Will you be heading over yourself a lot or basing yourself there? Or?
Yeah, look, we will be establishing a presence in Guinea. We have a presence in Burkina at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's about having good quality management in place in country. And obviously, to support them, it's necessary for us to have a presence there as well. So I certainly intend to be travelling to and from Guinea and Burkina in the next 2 or 3 years quite regularly. I certainly improve my French. And it'll put me in a position of being able to understand what's happening. As it's very easy to sit in Perth and direct operations in Africa and not really understand the challenges that the people on the ground are facing. So it's very important for us to be there, and it's very important for us to meet the communities in which we operate.
Okay. Now, Hugh, have you allowed yourself to dream a bit and say, well, what could this Simandou North project end up being?
Oh, only when I'm awake or asleep, Barry. I look at this as an amazing opportunity. In Block 1, 2, 3 and 4, there's nearly 4 billion tonnes of high-grade iron ore, and we're sitting in exactly the same stratigraphy, a long strike. We know it occurs there. How big could this be? I would love to think that we're going to be matching it with Rio and winning, but I'd be happy. I'd be ecstatic if we were half as big. It'd be wonderful.
And importantly, being able to piggyback off the $12 to $15 billion infrastructure that Rio and Winning Consortium will be putting in.
Yeah, that'd be a wonderful outcome. Absolutely wonderful. Saves us a lot of capital expenditure.
Okay, then. There we go, folks. A very lightly capitalised explorer with a focus on West Africa, and it's just put its foot on the northern extension of the mighty Simandou iron ore project of Rio/Winning Consortium. So definitely one to watch. And Hugh, thanks for your time today. We'll be keeping an eye on this one, that's for sure.
My pleasure, Barry. Thank you for speaking with me.
Cheers.